So at least 5 times a day during the week, as a hospice chaplain, I pray the Lord's Prayer. Most of my patients in this area are either traditional Lutherans or Catholics. And when we lift up concerns in prayer, many of them find comfort and familiarity in saying the Lord's Prayer along with me. And I have to confess, at first this felt really false and uncomfortable. Certain words really grated on my consciousness. Formal words and these requests seemed so far away from anything that felt like connection for me. And yet, when I peeked out from underneath my bowed head, I could see that my patients glowed with a sense of comfort and peace in reciting these familiar and ancient words. So do you pray or don't you? I think a lot of us in this room, like myself and Dan, have had interesting relationships with prayer over the years. Maybe like some of you, I was raised in a typical Christian home. My family was ELCA Lutheran. We didn't exactly practice our faith much outside of Sunday mornings, but it had a place in our lives when we were troubled or celebrating joy. I was taught to pray to God to help us through our days. Over time, my prayers became more of a conversation with God, telling him, and I say him because my childhood brain envisioned that Old Testament man. I would tell him about my troubles, and then usually I would request help or ask for things. Let's looking back, I'm surprised I didn't imagine God in a Santa Claus suit, as that is how it was really playing out with me and God. Dear God, I need this or that. Please make this happen for me. That would be so great. My life would finally be perfect. Thank you. Amen. As I grew older, I began to see those kind of prayers for what they were, a wish list for what I wanted. I too, like Dan, stopped praying those kind of prayers. In fact, in college, I stopped praying. I had trouble making sense of the God that I had been raised with. And as I grew and as my life continued, I began to dabble in Buddhism and discovered Unitarian Universalism. And my view of prayer and meditation began to shift. I began to see prayer as a way of becoming part of something bigger than myself. I began to pray again, but in a different way. I began to recognize prayer in song and in dance, in poetry, in nature, especially in nature, in good food even, in powerful films, laughter, you name it. I've come to a place where I see so many things as prayer. What a shift from when I used to pray for things. And so somehow that long, winding journey brought me back to sitting across from my patient, holding their hands, and earnestly praying the Lord's Prayer with them. Writer and Christian Anne Lamott says there are 3 basic prayers in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow. And like Dan mentioned, just for today, I'm asking you not to get bogged down into whom we pray. Today, I'm inviting us to rethink prayer. Many of us carry a lot of baggage from our past that have us to question its direction and its purpose. As Unitarian Universalists, it's easy for us to get stuck there. In fact, that's really the first question people ask me when I explain our welcoming faith. Well, who do you pray to? They ask with disbelief. Unitarian Universalists could argue for decades about this topic. And I'm sure we could do a pretty good job of continuing that argument today. But like Dan said, let's look at this definition that Anne Lamott offered up. What if today we define prayer as communication from our hearts to the great mysterious, to the greater good, or to the animating energy of love that sometimes we're bold enough to believe in. Now, those are words I can get behind. Those are words that, for me, describe what I might be praying to or for. For me, when I'm confused or anxious or worried, prayer or meditation is my real self trying to reach out to be seen and to be heard. In that moment, I'm trying to escape the feelings of fear or shame that I feel caught up in, and instead, I want to be found by light and warmth and love in this world. And I wonder, what if we framed all the things we do each day that give us a sense of meaning, a sense of connection, a sense of comfort? What if we saw these things to be forms of prayer or meditation? I wonder, is a beautiful song about love and loss a prayer? Is a poem about the beauty of the earth a prayer? For myself, I found perhaps that all things in which we express ourselves honestly, I can imagine them as little prayers that reach out and share our universal experience with others. Anne Lamott feels the most common prayer that escapes our lips in times of trouble is the word help. The help prayer happens when we're so devastated by circumstances that we throw in the towel. We admit that we can't do it ourselves anymore. When disaster hits, cancer or illness or accidents, now my old childhood self might have begged or demanded a fix or a resolution to the problem. But now life has taught me that sometimes the journey is not about the end results. Now I might pray or meditate for courage and strength to walk through it. You and I lifted up a help prayer earlier. Our sharing of concerns and our service is in all reality a help prayer. We're letting our circle of loving know what is difficult for us right now. How often have you been feeling really down or afraid and you share with someone you love? We do it all the time. And sometimes they have a solution and then our problem is solved. And sometimes they don't. And the problem is still there. And yet, just by sharing our problem, we somehow feel a little bit better. Our load seems a little lighter. For me, that's what praying for help does. It lets the universe know that I'm overwhelmed and at the end of my rope. And in that moment of lifting up in surrender, I've also gotten pretty real with myself. And I admit that I'm feeling lost and vulnerable. Anne Lamott feels that there's freedom in that vulnerability. In seeing that you won't be able to save or rescue your daughter or your spouse or his parents or your career, you're actually admitting that you've reached the place of great unknowing. That is the place where Buddhist Pema Chodron says we are fully alive and completely awake. To live fully is to be always in no man's land. To live, says Chodron, is to be willing to die over and over again. Okay, that sounds exhausting and uncomfortable. And then again, I know it's true. Life is always about changing. And when I'm at my most vulnerable, I can use prayer or meditation to reach out to connect to something bigger than myself and breathe out my pain and suffering. It allows me the freedom to wail and vent and release emotional pressure. And it puts words to my anguish. And to be honest, I think there's real power in that. When we put voice to the reality of a situation for us, it changes us. It forces us to pause, and yes, we are fully alive in that moment. Fellowship member Bea Alford is my yoga teacher. She also meditates and writes poetry and music. I think all of these are ways in which she prays each day. in class last week, she shared that the front of our bodies represent self-effort, all that we do on our own each day. The back of our bodies represent the support and grace and care of the universe, whoever got us to where we are now, family or friends, mentors or teachers, or even Mother Earth. And as she was saying this, I thought about the help prayer. In times of crisis, the front of ourselves says, I've been going forward out into this world, trying to solve this problem, but it doesn't seem to be working. And then what if we remembered that we're connected to this world, to more than just the front of ourselves? We're connected to all that has brought us forward to this place, the people, the earth, the grace, and the love. Prayer or meditation can remind us of that connection. And when we pray or meditate, we may feel less alone and less afraid. Plus, guess what? There's science behind this idea, too. Currently, there are more than 200 controlled experiments in humans, plants, animals, and even microbes, suggesting that compassionate, loving prayers and intentions of one individual can actually affect another. These studies paint a picture of human consciousness that is infinite. Our individual mind appears to be connected with all other minds, no matter how far apart. Our own UU principle of belief in the interconnected web reinforces this idea. We are connected to everyone and to everything. Thich Nhat Hanh says that whenever we join our palms together in a daily practice of meditation, clarity and understanding are produced. And when there's more understanding, then there is more love in the collective consciousness, and our state of our health improves, not just as individuals, but as an entire community. With all of that collective love and grace lifting us up, the first word that comes to my mind is thanks. Lamont says that the thanks prayers run the gamut from sharing and saying, thanks, I appreciate my continued health, or maybe that was a good day at the office. Saying, thanks, what a relief, when it's not the transmission, or an abscess, or an audit from the IRS. So thank you, thank you, thank you. My wife is going to live. We get to stay in this house. They found my son alive, and he's okay. Thich Nhat Hanh offers short little prayers for daily activities. One of my favorites is called Waking Up. Waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. I vow to live fully in each moment and to look at all beings with eyes of compassion. What a great way to start the day. Many of my patients feel abandoned by the God that they've been taught about. Alone in a nursing home, family might not be able to come as much as they'd like. Their faith tells them that God is with them, but they're having trouble seeing it. I have found for me that there is divinity in all the staff that come in and out all day long. Those who help them to get washed or dressed, housekeepers to sweep and dust, cooks who shop and chop and bake, social workers who handle insurance claims, chaplains like myself who hold their hands and listen and pray with them. I like to imagine that everyone who walks through their door is collectively forming something bigger than themselves. That is pretty divine. That collectively we are showing love to one another in all the little things we do for each other each day. Waking up this morning, I smile. We've all heard the catchphrase that we should practice gratitude, and I agree it really is a practice. Seems that we almost have to train ourselves to do it. It seems our messy human nature wants to cling to the negative first, and I think our culture reinforces that. We let small things weigh too heavily, and we grip tightly to old hurts. It's then when we need to practice. Lift up our heads and see how blue the sky is, and listen to the sound of the bird outside. Perhaps we recognize that on that day, we have food in our refrigerator. We have clothes on our backs. We have a roof over our head. You and I have this beautiful place to come and celebrate together, even when we're hurting or afraid. There are many ways to kiss the ground, says Rumi. We can find much to be grateful for if we open our eyes and our hearts. How often do we write, like Dan said in his journal? How often do we dance or sing when we are grateful or happy? Some of you know my daughter Claire has a beautiful voice. I've heard her sing on stage and in productions and in choirs, but there's a different quality when she's singing in the bathtub. She doesn't always do it, but when she does, it's because she's profoundly happy about something. And as I hear her voice ring out in joy, I believe that that is a song or prayer of gratitude. Gratitude begins in our hearts, and then it can dovetail into behavior. Anne Lamott says that, strangely, it almost always makes us willing to be of service to others, because that's where joy resides. When you're aware of all that you've been given, it's hard not to want to share it. And I think of all of us who are so committed to social justice here. That's a sharing of the gratitude that we have as people with an awful lot of privilege. When we go from scratchy and clenched to grateful, we're often given the experience of grace. And when that happens, something shifts inside of us. We find that something had to open. Something inside of us had to give way in that shift. Being present and noticing our blessings invites us to say thanks. And that movement of grace toward gratitude brings us from the discomfort of self-obsessed madness to perhaps our own quiet spiritual awakening. And that can be wow. The wow prayer is offered with a gasp, a sharp intake of breath. Wow is having one's mind blown by the mesmerizing and the miraculous. Wow signals a loss of words. For me, wow usually comes when I'm blown away by love. I see people who love tremendously in my work. Families who tell me stories of their parents making great financial and physical sacrifices for their kids, never complaining, and in fact doing so with great joy. Having come from a family that doled out love in measured amounts, this always surprises me. It makes me see how deep and powerful the human spirit can be. Just on Friday, I saw a young 20-year-old nursing assistant come in on her day off and hold the hand of a dying patient, and she spent most of her day there because she cared and loved for her. Wow. I see people finally letting go and forgiving one another for long-held grievances, their faces shining with joy and tears and relief. Wow. Thich Nhat Hanh shares a wow poem. Breathing in, I'm so happy to hug my child. Breathing out, I know she is real and alive in my arms. After I gave birth, I felt like that was a wow prayer. How did my body know how to do that? How did the doctors and nurses know how to do that? How did my baby know how to do that? Wow. Nature is also a place, I'm sure, where most of us experience wow prayers. I had the great fortune to be invited to preach at the UU congregation in St. John, U.S. Virgin Islands in May. While Joel and I were there, we made the habit of watching the sunset from a new spot each evening. Some were beautiful, but some were spectacular. Deep reds and purples and oranges and pinks. The sky literally looked like it was on fire. I find wow in the beauty and sighing of the trees as the wind blows through their leaves. I find wow in the delicate, intricate formation of the iris. I know each and every one of us here has been moved by music that is so beautiful that we've wept. I think that is a wow prayer. Hearing a beat poet share words that are so true and astounding. Watching an actor portray an emotion or feeling that seems so universal. That's a wow prayer. Thich Nhat Hanh wonders why we pray. Why do we put these things into words or even action? Perhaps, he says, because all the energy of prayer comes back to our simple human desire for happiness, to be connected to others, and to something greater than ourselves. Prayer, whether chanted, silent, in meditation, dance, sung, or painted, is a way to return to ourselves in the present moment and to touch the truth and peace inside of us. It is simultaneously a way to put us in touch with the universal and the timelessness and recognize our connection to everything in the universe. So how do you seek help when you're vulnerable or hurting? How do you give thanks for the things you're grateful for? How do you express yourself when there are no words? Do you fall to your knees in traditional prayer or meditation? Do you sit quietly in nature, soaking up the sounds and sights? Do you write in a journal, or create a poem, or write a song? Do you paint, or dance, or sing at the top of your lungs, or hug a loved one? Is this prayer? I believe it to be so. Call it what you will, but it's holy. When we do these things, we are suddenly not alone, but instead we're brought out of the darkness and connected into something much bigger than ourselves. And each time we do it, it brings us out into the light. Wow. May it be so.